Joining us on the line this morning to talk Browns football is Scott Petra. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great. You've yet to get into a routine for this Browns season, right? You have a game on a Sunday, a game on a night. We had one game finally on a Sunday afternoon last week, win over the Ravens. Now another Monday night. Are you pining for days of just sort of a good routine so you know when to wake up and when to write the story and how the week plays out?
Yeah, I think it's easier that way for everybody involved. You know, I know the fans appreciate the primetime spotlight. And it's fun to watch those games and to be in the get all that attention. But I think even the players and the coaches like the routine. And I know that there's going to be a little bit of a sense of relief when this game's over tonight and that finishes the stretch of three primetime games in 4 weeks.
We've shown up pretty much for most of these primetime games. I mean, we've done ourselves proud, I would think, so far this season, the way those turned out.
Yeah, I mean, they played okay against the Jets, but they got the win. They played a little bit better against the Rams, which is a good team, obviously, defending NFC champs. And lost, came down to the wire. They need to play better tonight if they're going to beat the 49ers. You know, it's tough to tell exactly how good the 49ers are because they haven't played really good competition yet. But they're 3-0. They're coming off a bye. I like their coach. I like their quarterback. So I think you can make an argument that this is the best team that the Browns have faced so far. You know, right up there. I guess they rank with the Rams and the Ravens. And they're on the road, prime time, coming off a bye. So I think this might be the best test yet for the Browns.
We've had the name Jimmy Garoppolo in our ether for a long time when they were wondering whether he could even be the quarterback for the future for the Browns at some point. Have we ever faced this quarterback in any time yet?
I don't think so. I think when he was in New England, Tom Brady came back from suspension the week the Browns played New England. And then he only started three games last year with San Francisco before he got hurt. He finished 2017, but the Browns only play the Niners every 4 years. So, no. So, this is a fresh look live against the Browns defense, and he's good. He's 11-2 as a starter. You know, had the torn ACL last year, but looks like he's either at 100% or pretty close to 100%. And that Kyle Shanahan offense makes things so easy on a quarterback with the commitment to the run, the play action passing game off the run, that there's a lot of easy throws and open receivers. And Garoppolo, you know, I know it's a small sample size, 13 starts, but he looks accurate. He's got a big enough arm. He's got enough athleticism. And he, to me, he's a legitimate quarterback in this league.
Scott, Christian Kirksey is done for the season. What do you think that loss means to the Browns?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because he's obviously a legitimate NFL player, right? He started, I think this is his fourth year as a starter. He's voted captain a bunch of times. He's voted captain against this year. But there's a lot of people around. There's a lot of fans that are down on Christian Kirksey just because he doesn't make a ton of big plays, difference-making plays. You know, the Browns drafted two linebackers, so you kind of expected there to be a changeover, either if not this year, next year. And Mac Wilson, the rookie fifth-round pick out of Alabama, has stepped in nicely so far. So I think there's a drop-off, but I don't think it's a significant one where, you know, that's how the season goes, gets sabotaged, there's a big drop-off. I think Mac Wilson, the way he's played so far, is capable of playing in that spot. So, you know, Christian Kirk could still be around the team. I think you could make an argument that his best asset to the team right now is as a leader because he does really rally, he rallies that group. It's not just defensively, it's a team. He's a guy that everybody goes to in that locker room. But on the field, you know, I think the Browns were preparing to move on from Kirksey anyway after this season. They can get out of his contract. And I think this just kind of makes that almost a certainty. Now, maybe they rework it. Maybe he takes a pay cut. But I think this is Mac Wilson's chance to just grab that job for the next few years.
Talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all about the stories in brownzone.com. Also at Scott Petrick on Twitter. Monday night, always a showcase game, and somebody usually probably uses that extra incentive to be seen a lot. Do we expect much out of Myles Garrett tonight? Where do you see him playing? We've sort of he's been kind of in the background a little bit in a couple games now.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had those, you know, he had six sacks in the first three games. He got off to a great start. Didn't do a whole lot in Baltimore. I'll tell you what. I think in order to stop that Kyle Shanahan offense, and I keep bringing it up, but it's such a key, in my opinion. You know, they run this wide zone scheme where all the offensive linemen get moving in unison toward the sideline, and then the running back sees a seam and takes one cut and heads upfield. Well, I was talking to guys in the locker room, and the best way to defend that is to have two dominant defensive ends that could shut it down before it gets going. Well, the Browns have Myles Garrett, and they have Olivier Vernon on the other side. So they have the potential to do that. I think Myles Garrett needs to have a big game tonight, and it starts with stopping the run, and then it includes gutting after Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think if the Browns are going to win in San Francisco, Myles Garrett is going to have a big game.
How about our defensive backs? I guess we're getting a little reinforcement on that side of the ball.
Yeah, they still don't have their cornerbacks back. I know Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams, the two starters at corner, they're listed as questionable, but they didn't practice again all week. I didn't get any kind of good vibe that they're going to be playing tonight. So it'll be three straight weeks without their starting corners. But I'll tell you what, this is where some of the depth that John Dorsey, the GM, acquired has come in really handy. You mentioned Mac Wilson at linebacker. You know, Terrence Mitchell and TJ Carey have started a lot of games in this league at corner. So it's not an adjustment for them to come in and start. I think they've held their own. And to me, this 49ers offense, it's not fueled by the receivers. Yeah, some guys make plays, but to me that's off the scheme from Kyle Shanahan. So I think if you're going to miss your cornerbacks, your starting cornerbacks, today's not a game that's a big loss for the Browns, I don't think. And they played well. And then Morgan Burnett, the strong safety, might come back. And it looks like he practiced fully on Saturday. It looks like he's going to play. But I'll tell you what, Jermaine Whitehead, who's an unknown safety for the Browns, has played unbelievable given the extended playing time he had with Demaryius Randall missing a game and then Morgan Burnett missing two. And I would not be surprised at all if Whitehead remained the starter, even with Burnett back. He's been that good.
You mentioned the talent that was acquired by Dorsey. How much is this with the coaching staff and those that are dealing with those players to put them in this position or give them the right information, what have you?
Yeah, sure. It's always a combination of both. I do think they have an upgrade on the defensive coaching staff. You know, I know there's some Greg Williams lovers out there, but I like Steve Williams better than Greg Williams, and I think he's done a great job as coordinator, and he uses three safeties all the time. I like that change. I think that gives you more flexibility. He relied on Jermaine Whitehead. He's been singing his praises for months, so he knew he could step in. So I think it's a combination, but when you look at the overall evolution of this team, from 0-16 just a year and a half ago to where it is now, and we think they're poised to make a playoff run or a run at the playoffs, it all starts with talent. And John Dorsey has done a really incredible job stockpiling talent, and it's not just the stars like Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield. It's the guys down the line in depth, which this team hasn't had in, I don't know the last time this team had this kind of depth.
So the Browns had yesterday off. Did you take the day off too, or did you check out some of the other contests?
Let me tell you, there are no days off in the NFL season for Scott Petrak. I watched some NFL games while I wrote. I did all my preview stuff sitting on my Lazy Boy, and I watched, there were three NFL games. I watched all three NFL games.
Wow. Any surprises or anything catch your eye?
Well, you know, I watched a lot of that Ravens-Steelers game, right, because it's AFC North. It's the Browns competition. And I thought the Steelers should have won. I'm not, they're not as talented as Baltimore, but I thought Baltimore played poorly. The Steelers let them win, even though they lost their quarterback with that ugly concussion. I mean, he's out on his feet, so we could talk about that. But, at the Ravens, I think they're the Browns' only competition inside the division, and they got a big win. They got a big division win, the road win, and now the Ravens are back in first place unless the Browns win tonight. So, I think the Browns fans should keep an eye on the Ravens all year because it's probably going to come down to that Week 16 game at Cleveland between the Browns and the Ravens.
No days off for Scott Petrak, except on October 18th, on a Friday night when Ohio State's taking on Northwestern. I'm sure you'll put aside a little bit of your time for that.
It's funny you say that because that is a day off, and I'm going to the game. I actually bought season tickets just so I could get those tickets. So it's the bye week, so the Browns will be off. So I guess I was exaggerating a little bit. I have a couple of days off that time, and I'm going to go watch
My Wildcats pull the upset of the century.
All right. We're counting down the days here.
Speaking of upset, one quick point here, Bruce Van Dyke. I'm watching that game last night, the Chiefs and the Colts. And once I heard that three former Browns linemen were starting for the Chiefs, other than Mitchell Schwartz, I knew they were in trouble. That's all I'll say.
Oh, don't say that.
But they were like that last year. They had those guys in there last year. They went to the AFC Championship. It's amazing, but Cam Ingram, who's not their starting left tackle, he's been in there for an injured guy, was awful last night. And it's everything the Browns had seen after he was somehow taken in the first round by, I think that was a Ray Farmer pick.
So we're not pining to get any of those guys back, you'd say, really?
No, Schwartz is the only one. The other guys, Kansas City can have them.
All right. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Scott.
We'll talk to you again. It's Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us, also brownzone.com. Alumni of Northwestern, going to root for his team against the Buckeyes coming up on the 18th. That's a Friday night,